get set up here. It'll take a minute or two to get set up here. If you want to open your Bibles to our memory verse for tonight, which is Psalms 145, that's where we'll be camped out tonight. For those of you that do not know me, my name is Ross Johnson. I went through the GIBS program quite a few years back. I can't even remember now. Nick, do you remember when we graduated? Yeah, 11 or 12, one of those years. It's been a while anyway. But I've been privileged, along with others, to have the opportunity to give devotions on our memory verses to keep our skills up when it comes to studying the Bible. And tonight's memory verse is Psalms 145, 8, and 9. And this study brought some a serious an appreciation that and a focus brought to focus an appreciation for the Lord and who He is and what He does for us, and something that we all know the Lord is, and we can fill in the blanks, but I hope you'll see that as I studied this verse out, just the focus that I experienced about our Lord, and hopefully I can relay that to you. Okay. So Psalms 145 verses 8 and 9. Psalms 145, 8 and 9 in the New King James Version. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. As you look at this, this looks like a nice, compact couple sentences about the Lord. Upon further study, we'll see that the New King James Version here, though it does a good job, I think it kind of dampens down what the author of this verse, David was really trying to say. To get the context, let's take a look at Psalms 145. The title on Psalms 145 in my Bible says, A Song of God's Majesty and Love. The subtitle is A Praise of David. It's not just a Psalm of David, but it's a praise of David. The structure of the psalm is actually an alphabetic acrostic, which means that each one of these verses starts with a Hebrew letter of the H alphabet. Now let's take a look at the focus of this praise psalm or song. The word Lord itself shows up 9 times in 21 verses. The focus is definitely the Lord. Not only that, pronouns referring directly to the Lord show up another 17 times. So a total of 34 times in just 21 verses, the Lord is either mentioned directly by name or is referred to. So you can see where David is going at here, is definitely praising the Lord. David focuses his praise on different aspects of the Lord throughout this song. Verses 1 through 3 is the greatness of the Lord. 4 through 7 is the expectation of ongoing praise. Verses 8 and 9, which is our memory verses, the character of the Lord. An expression concerning the kingdom of the Lord is verses 10 through 13. An acknowledgement of the grace of the Lord is 14 through 16. And the focus of the righteous grace of the Lord. Again, it's the focus on the character of the Lord that we find our memory verse tonight. So let's take a look to see what David has to say about the Lord. First things I want to realize is the word Lord. It's all capital here. And this is the Hebrew word Yahweh, or as we say, Jehovah. This is the proper name of the God of Israel. So David is saying here, Yahweh, or this is the absolute proper name. He's calling the Lord by his proper title and name. So what does David say? The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. As the New King James here translates this into a simple sentence, simple declarative sentence. But upon further study, we're going to see that this is not how it really shows up in the Hebrew. And I believe it expresses what David is trying to say better. In the Hebrew, this sentence is actually one noun, the Lord, and four adjectives. And we'll look at each one of them. So it's kind of a list. The first adjective is gracious, and it means to be kind, and it means to be merciful to the needy and repentant. The Lord is gracious, or gracious. The interesting thing about this word, this Hebrew word for a gracious, is it's found 13 times. Every single time it's translated the word gracious, and it's always used as an attribute of God or the Lord. The Lord is gracious. Second adjective we're going to see is full of compassion. This means compassionate, or showing favor and not punishment as is often deserved. It's implying a forgiving relationship. The Lord is gracious, the Lord is compassionate, or he's full of compassion. A good example to show these characters of the Lord is his plan of salvation. The plan of salvation shows us the Lord is gracious and compassionate towards us. Every one of us has a need. And that need is to be saved from the penalty of sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." The problem with us being a sinner is the wages of sin is death. It's the sin in our lives that separates you and me from a righteous, holy God. And if we do not get saved from the penalty of sin, in our lifetime we will be eternally separated from God in a place called hell. We cannot pay this penalty ourselves. We have two problems. First problem is that our righteousness deeds do not help us in any way, shape, or form. In fact, Isaiah 64:6 says, "But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. We fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Second problem we have is the penalty for sin is death. No amount of good works is going to blot out even one of our sins. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So how do we get this gift of eternal life from God? By placing faith, our faith, 100% of our trust in who Jesus Christ is and what he accomplished. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus died on the cross to pay your sin and my penalty, and your penalty and my penalty that we cannot pay ourselves. 1 John 2:2 says, "And he himself," referring to Christ, "is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." Propitiation means a satisfactory payment. Christ's death is the payment in full of our sins that we have committed, past, present, and future. This full payment satisfies God's justice, and because of the work of Jesus Christ, sin is no longer the reason that separates you from a righteous God. The question you need to be answered is did Jesus Christ get the job done? The Bible says Jesus got the job done. And because of that, God can justify us or declare us righteous, because sin is no longer the issue. We get the free gift of salvation by faith through grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and not yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Salvation from the penalty of sin by the gracious God, Lord, and He shows us favor and compassion. First of all, He's gracious by coming up with the taking care of our needs, and He's compassionate by not punishing you and me with the penalty of sin upon the act of sin. We don't get knocked over dead at the moment we take a sin. If that were true, none of us would be here. So there's the first two adjectives, gracious and full of compassion. The third adjective is slow to anger. This means patient or long-suffering before getting angry. As I thought of an example of the Lord being slow or patient or long-suffering, I thought of Gideon and his multiple tests to see if God was actually going to let him lead the Israelites against the enemies of Israel. I also thought of the nation of Israel and as they were wandering the desert under Moses and how they would see something that was phenomenal or get saved from a real problem and then immediately turn to grumbling against Moses and the Lord. Sometimes within days of seeing absolute miracles. The fourth adjective that describes our Lord in this verse is great in mercy. The large quantity of loyal love and unfailing kindness that is steadfast based on a prior relationship. The other thing that we find different between the versions is the word order. So in the Hebrew, the word order reads like this: gracious and full of compassion, the Lord, slow to anger and great in mercy. Young's literal translation translates this verse this way: gracious and merciful is Jehovah, and slow to anger, and great in kindness. So as you can see, we've got this noun, Jehovah or the Lord, with these four adjectives describing Him. As we ponder these facts of these four adjectives or these facts about our Lord, we have and should praise the Lord like David for who He is and what He is. But David is not done here. He still has some more praise. So as we continue in verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. We can still see that the focus of this verse is the Lord, Yahweh, or Jehovah. And let's see what David has to say about the Lord. Now this next word is still an adjective. This phrase, good to all, and it's just like the ones in verse 8. The word good here means good as in morally good, the opposite of evil. And we see that, who is the Lord good to? He is good to all. Now in the Hebrew, there's the article, the word the. So it actually reads good to the all, which means towards the whole or the absolute total of any collective object or idea. The Lord is morally good and not evil towards the whole or total of His creation, even to those that deserve to be punished. We can add this to the list. The Lord is good. He's morally good to all. Not just us, His children, or the Israelites, but everybody. Good to all, morally good to the whole of His creation. This is quite a list of adjectives modifying the Lord, so I wondered how and why did David come up with this particular list. The sources for this particular list are found in the Word of God, and I think David experienced these things true in his lifetime. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, this is the Lord describing himself to Moses. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for the thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So this is the Lord describing himself to Moses. This is David would have access to this, and I believe David also knew this to be true from other psalms. Psalms 86:15, another psalm of David, says, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and health." So far, David has used a kind of a list approach as he praises God, as he ponders his characteristics. Now we're going to switch to using some form of completed thought or a completed sentence here. The rest of verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his work." Tender mercies. Tender mercies mean compassion, pity, or favor. To show compassion or concern for someone in difficulty. The psalmist or David often beseeches God for expressions of his tender mercies to relieve his distress or to confess that undeserved relief is due to God's tender mercies and grace. His tender mercies. The word "over" here is a preposition, and it can mean over or upon or according to or on account of. And so what is his tender mercies over? Again, we see the word "all." Now, we don't have the word "the" in it, so it's over all, a total, his works, his labors or his deeds, everything that which is done. The word deed frequently concurs in context dealing with God's activity in the created world. The theological concept here is that there's an affirmation that is God is kind in all his doings. The Amplified Version states this, says this verse, it says this way, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works, the entirety of things created." The Lord is good to everyone, and you, the Lord, take care of all your creation. David, along with others in the Bible, knew these traits to be true of the Lord and saw it firsthand in their lifetime. So, tender mercies. David knew this to be true. Everything he does, though everything the Lord does, he does according to his compassion and concern for all his creation. This kind of caught me by surprise, and it shouldn't have, but it really brought into focus that when the Lord does something, he just isn't doing it for us, or you, or me. He has everybody in his entire creation in mind, and he's doing it because he cares and he has concern for them. A great example of this is found in Jonah. Jonah had gone, if you know the story of Jonah, has tasked by the Lord to go to the wicked city of Nineveh and warn them about their upcoming destruction. And now he's done that after he took a little side trip. And he's waiting on the side, he's sitting there waiting for the city to be destroyed. Jonah 3:10, "Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and the God relented from the disaster that he would said he would bring on them, and he did not do it." Now, Jonah did not like this, and he even said to the Lord, so he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was it not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know, Jonah knew, that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one that relents from doing harm. Jonah knew this. David knew this. There's countless other people that know this. We can see this about the Lord by reading the Word of God, or we can experience this ourselves as we look around. And this is, for this reason, David is praising the Lord about who and what he is. We can read about the character of the Lord and believe it is because that's what the Bible says. And we can see how it's worked in many people's lives in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We can also experience this firsthand in our lives that we stop and ponder who God is and what he's done for us. Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ, or I'll substitute the Lord, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that one of the attributes of the Lord, or God, is he's immutable. He never changes. So as we review, the Lord, gracious, merciful to the needy and repentant. The Lord, full of compassion, showing favor, not punishment. He forgives. The Lord, slow to anger, long-suffering before getting angry. The Lord is great in mercy. He has a large quantity of love and kindness. The Lord is good to the whole. He is morally good. He is good to the whole of his creation. Everything the Lord does is done according to his compassion and concern. And like David, we can praise the Lord for these attributes, for this. So as you can see, as you first glance at this in the New King James Version, you kind of get this, the Lord is gracious, full of mercy. But as I studied this out, it just jumped off the page that the Lord is, and all these adjectives just came kind of spilling out of David's mouth. And I think that's, as I studied this out, it really brought into focus of who the Lord is, his characteristics, and the last two particularly, when the Lord does something, he does it for everybody, his entire creation, for the good of everybody, not just you and me, or as you think about it, as the children of Israel. So how is that for a praise of the Lord? That doesn't make you want to praise the Lord. Check for a pulse. So, or get an attitude change, one of the two. So with that, a quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for these verses that explain to us and praise you for who you are and what you are. We know that you are gracious. We know that you show favor instead of punishment. You are extremely patient to us and have large quantities of mercy and kindness to us and to all the others. Pray that we'd be mindful of these truths in our lives, and this will cause us to praise you as David did. I'd like to thank you for the way you treat all of us and your creation with goodness, and everything that you've done is for your compassion and concern for not just you and us believers, but the entire world. Thank you for the completed Word of God that you've made available to us, and pray that we take advantage and make verses like Psalms 145, 8, and 9 a part of our lives so that these truths can be real to us. In